Now, do I understand you to say, Judge, that this was kind of like the granddaddy or the seminal case of this type?
I think so.
In that ultimately this flowered into the recall process,
yes,
procedure that's so common now,
yes,
with respect to cars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The manufacturer's response would be...
For recalling any imperfect automobile.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall any other cases of that sort, perhaps, that you wrote on the Michigan Supreme Court, perhaps dealing with some other kind of manufactured product?
I don't remember whether this is on the Michigan Supreme Court or not.
Yeah, that was 358. Now, I forgot what year, uh-huh, but that would have been about 1958 or 60, somewhere in there.
Uh-huh. But it was on the Michigan Supreme Court.
I think if at the left margin of that sheet you had in front of you, it'll show the year of the case, or year that it was decided. 1960, is it, or is it whole? Well, it would have been around then, at any rate. I noticed in when Ted Suris, upon the
versus General Motors, I've got it here now. Directed under
short at the margin there.
Yes,
see, right over here, 1959. See, each one.
Yeah.
59. It would have been.
Uh huh. Yeah.
When your former colleague Justice Suris spoke at the ceremony of presenting your portrait to the Michigan Supreme Court, he reviewed your career as he saw it, the significant things that you did. And one of them, he starts out, he says, "Then these members of the court of whom I speak," and he spoke of you and Talbot Smith in particular, "turned their attention to the substantive and procedural issues of the day, included among those substantive issues of law that they succeeded in forcing the court to re-examine are the following." And then one of them, number four, liability of manufacturers to the users of negligently manufactured goods.
Now, yeah.
That was apparently, he had in mind that case.
Yes, that must be that case.
And maybe some others, but I,
yeah,
you don't recall others that would fit in that group.
Well, I know that there were many others that followed that, but I don't have a distinct memory of citations for them.
In enumerating these various categories of cases, he assigns the first place to, number one, the compensability under our workers' compensation law of heart attacks and emotional,
yeah,
injuries resulting from pressures of employment.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Redfern case?
No, I don't remember it by name, but I remember that that's been a hell. That is still being hotly contested by defendants,
mm-hmm,
whether or not heart attacks are compensable.
Mm-hmm.